Raymond Jesse Foster is a White Earth enrollee born in White Earth, Minnesota in 1942. He was removed from his family at a very young age and was raised in the St. Cloud Orphanage, which he ran from at the age of 13. He has lived in Minneapolis for most of his adult life, and he's very active in the Native American community. Here's part three of a four-part series. If you'd like to hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org.
Born in the old Indian hospital. Right now there's a roundhouse built on that property. When they tore that down, that hospital, back in the 50s sometime, 54, 55.
What have you seen change up until now?
You know, when I left White Earth, there was a lot of these old government jabby, gray jabby looking houses. Called them the government rehab housing. They were built by the WPA.
What was the WPA?
Work Project Association. The government started that, the WPA. There's a work program for... It's just like now they've got a lot of programs for the homeless, and I don't see any of that going on anymore. These homeless programs, I don't see them creating any kind of work like that. But the WPA, they built a lot of stuff. Like the old school in White Earth was built by the WPA. That school is still standing, the old school. And sidewalks around the school built by the WPA. That's, in fact, our school is the only place I ever seen sidewalks is around that school. There's no sidewalks in other places. When I left, I was gone for years and years. I come back and White Earth didn't seem like White Earth anymore to me. They all had new houses. All the old government rehab houses were gone. Burnt down, just like the house in White Earth where my grandma and grandpa used to live. But that was one of the old government rehab houses. And my brother Joe, he took the house over after I didn't want to live there in White Earth anymore. He told him, you know, he should have the house. But he always had the key, and I'd come to White Earth and he'd give me the key, and that's where I'd stay. And then when I'd leave, I'd give the key back to him. And finally, I just told him, you can just have that house, I don't want it. He did a lot of renovation in the house, added to it. And then in later years, he bought this farm out east of White Earth. He did a lot of work in that house. The old house that he had in the village, he gave that to one of his sons. But his son sold the house, and he bought a trailer house, and he moved it on his dad's yard, which his dad, you know, kind of frowned about it, but he never did say anything to his son about it. He just let it go. Eventually, the old house, my grandma and grandpa's house, you know, it burned down. And my one nephew, Mark, was telling me about that. Yeah, he said, people that were living there burnt it down. I mentioned that to them, and I said, maybe that was grandma and grandpa coming back after their house. They come back and took their house and took it. It's a lot of the old Indian beliefs, you know, that a lot of people used to live by, like, things that happened, you know, it happened for a reason.
Do you have any really funny stories that you could tell about being up in White Earth and anything that you guys may have done that was silly, goofy?
White Earth, when I was small growing up, we used to live this east of the village a little ways. Probably still there, but there's nothing there anymore. My younger years, probably about 3-4 years old, you know, I could remember stuff back then from that time. I mean, being back in 1945, 46, I could remember stuff back then. Life was really a bit back then. A lot of people depended on the welfare, and if the welfare wasn't there, it just, like, a lot of the Indians, you know, like myself, my grandma and grandpa, they provided for us. Like, I don't think we ever went hungry back during that latter years of depression into the 50s. It's for one reason, when my grandpa was working, I was working on the WPA, you know, working along the roads and everything. You know, WPA, REA, Rural Electric, all that stuff. They had jobs back then. He always brought something home. He'd take his 22 with him, and when he'd come home, you know, he'd walk through the woods. He'd either come home with some deer meat, rabbits, or whatever, you know. So we never went hungry. We always made sure that we had meat on the table, you know, it was wild game, but meat. And from there on, I went to school, you know, I can remember going to school, the teacher, her name was Mrs. Bowen. It seemed like she was there forever. School, she taught our parents, and then it went on through several generations of them. Mrs. Bowen, she was there for years. And then finally, I don't know, I guess the school board didn't like the way she was handling herself in school. She didn't show enough discipline to the kids. She was more like a loving old grandmother than a school teacher. So they got rid of her. That's what I heard anyway. I was already gone when they got rid of her.
Did she have any kind of impact in your life?
No, I didn't really have her for a teacher that long when I was gone. You just like what you got, you know, today, you know, you got all these programs going on a reservation. All the programs are funded through the government. Even out here, living in the city, a lot of these places around here, you know, they've got programs like that. It's money comes through the government. I noticed that a lot of stuff that happens is first come, first serve.
When you were younger and you were on a lot of different reservations, what kind of issues did you see? Like right now in White Earth, heroin and meth are a huge, huge problem.
Back then in my traveling, alcoholism was a big problem. I think back in 1954 is when they started selling alcohol to Indians. They could buy beer, wine, and whiskey. In 50, prior to that, they couldn't buy that stuff. If they got caught with it, they got sent to jail, prison, for being in possession of liquor. A lot of them older people, you know, that were living before 1954, a lot of them went to prison for having alcohol in their possession. But then after the government passed that law that the Indians were citizens of the United States, then they got their right to do what the white people were doing. You know, they could go to a liquor store and buy liquor and sit there and drink beer. I noticed that in White Earth, like Ogama was on the reservation before the Indians could start buying liquor and beer and that stuff. A lot of the older people, you know, died from alcoholism on the reservations, you know, but never really hear about it, you know, and you're young, you know, and you never knew what it was like before they could start buying liquor. You know, the Indians were and still are wards of the government. That's why they got reservations. That's the way I look at it, you know, reservations. They aren't Indian places, you know, they're concentration camps is what they are. Made a reservation, they put you on that reservation, you couldn't leave. If you left and they hunted you down, they either killed you or they took you and sent you to prison for leaving the reservation. The way I look at it yet is these reservations are still there, but a lot of the people that grew up and lived on them reservations, they never really looked at it in that sense of view. They start using the Indians to get all their goods, their furs and whatever, and they'd give them liquor for all this here stuff. After they got drunk, and they declared them savages, well, and they just start killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom a lot of that stuff, but that's just the way it is.
Do you have any really fun or funny story you could share with me about when you were young on the reservation? Maybe you did something crazy, or maybe when one of your siblings or cousins got into trouble.
Oh, geez, no, everything was trouble when you were young. When you were kids, everything was trouble. But everything you do was, you know, trouble. Anything that ever happened in White Earth, it seemed like they'd call the cops, and it seemed like the cops would come over to Grandma's house and get me all the time. They'd take me to jail. And a lot of that stuff, I was blamed for it. I never did it. But then when I get out of jail or whatever, wherever they sent me, I'd go back to the village of White Earth. I would do this stuff just to show them that I could do it and get away with it. You know, they never did catch me when I do that stuff. A lot of that stuff, like the pool hall, foreign store, and all that stuff. I broke into them places, and the people, you know, the Warrens, they lived right below their store down there. Like the basement, they had those living quarters down there. There, I was walking around in their store helping myself to a lot of stuff. The same way with Anna Wash's place down there. They called it the pool. I was walking around in there too in the night times. Well, I'd do that stuff, but I wouldn't get caught for doing it. Like the school. You know how many times we broke into school and they never did catch us. I guess a lot of us, you know, when we broke into that school in White Earth, we went down there and we'd head for the kitchen because we knew there was food down there. We'd go down there and eat. Then we'd clean it up before we left, and the next day they wouldn't even know anybody was in there.
Who'd you do that with?
See, a lot of them are gone now. You know, a lot of them have passed away, but, you know, guys around my age now, see, I'm 72, but we did a lot of stuff that they were caught us, we'd still be in jail, locked up. We broke in one of the passes. He's looking right in this guy's face when he's sleeping. He's walking around in his store, and you look right in the face, and he's laying there sleeping. Big kids. We did a lot of stuff.
If you'd like to hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.